So we're starting a new chapter in this Srimad Bhagavatam. Bali Maharaj surrenders the universe. This is just a follow-on from the wonderful chapter where the Lord begs charity from Bali Maharaj. And it's such a special chapter. But he explains that how a brahmana only asks for what he needs. He doesn't consider anything more, because he says basically it entangles him. But this is a special brahmana. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what does a Supreme Personality of Godhead need? This is a nice way of putting it. We'll find out, certainly in this chapter, you know, what Lord Vamanadeva requires from Bali Maharaj, what his needs are. Shri Radha Gokul Nandiki Jai, Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Yeah, so interesting. So he's a special brahmana, he has special needs, and supreme needs. We can never know, actually, really what Krishna needs, but we find out in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita what he does need. And it's a request to us, you know, how the Supreme Lord can actually ask something from us, his minute part and parcels. But somehow he's given us some minute independence. And so it's, who knows? We don't even know ourselves sometimes. I find that each day I don't even know what his needs are or what my needs are. And somehow, but it comes from association. We know what our needs are from association, because it's only in association that we can find out what the Lord wants and what our needs are, because it develops from fulfilling these needs. And we find out, it's called self-realization. So it's a nice chapter, as Dayabaladev pointed out. It's Guru Tattva. It's all about finding out about Guru, but different sorts of Guru. We can know Sukaracharya. He's a different sort of Guru. So we'll start, it's text 1, chapter, so Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 8, chapter 20, text 1. Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, O King Parikshit, when Bali Maharaj was thus advised by his spiritual master, Sukracharya, his family priest, he remained silent for some time, and then, after full deliberation, he replied to his spiritual master as follows. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks that Bali Maharaj remained silent at a critical point. How could he disobey the instruction of Sukracharya, his spiritual master? It is the duty of such a sober personality as Bali Maharaj to abide by the orders of his spiritual master immediately, as his spiritual master had advised. But Bali Maharaj also considered that Sukracharya was no longer to be accepted as a spiritual master, for he had deviated from the duty of a spiritual master. According to Shastra, the duty of Guru is to take the disciple back home, back to Godhead. If he is unable to do so, and instead hinders the disciple in going back to Godhead, he should not be a guru. Guru na sa siat. That's Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 5, Text 18. One should not become a guru if he cannot enable his disciple to advance in Krishna consciousness. The goal of life is to become a devotee of Lord Krishna, so that one may be freed from the bondage of material existence. Tyaktava deyam punarjanma nayati marmati sarjana. The spiritual master helps the disciple attains this stage by developing Krishna consciousness. Now Sukracharya had advised Bali Maharaj to deny the promise to Vamanadev. Under the circumstances, therefore, Bali Maharaj thought that there would be no fault if he disobeyed the order of his spiritual master. He deliberated on this point. Should he refuse to accept the advice of his spiritual master, or should he independently do everything to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He took some time. Therefore, it is said, Tushnim Bhutvachyanam Rajan Uvacha Vahito Gurum. After deliberating on this point, he decided that Lord Vishnu should be pleased in all circumstances, even at the risk of ignoring the Guru's advice to the contrary. Anyone who is supposed to be a guru, but who goes against the principle of Vishnu Bhakti, cannot be accepted as a guru. If one falsely accepted such a guru, one should reject him. Such a guru is described as follows. Mahabharata, Udyoga, 179.25. Guru apyavali pastasya karyakarayam ajanataha utpata pratipannasya parityago vidhiyate. Srila Jiva Goswami advised that such a useless guru, a family priest, acting as guru, should be given up, and that proper, bona fide guru should be accepted. Satkarma nivipuno vipro mantra tantra visar radaha Avaisnava Guru Nasyad Vaisnava Svapacho Guru. A scholarly Brahmana, expert in all the subjects of Vedic knowledge, is unfit to become a spiritual master without becoming a Vaisnava. But if a person born in a family of a lower caste is a Vaisnava, he can become a spiritual master. Padma Purana. Om Jnana Timanandasya Yananjana Salakaya Chakshuron Milatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kopa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanabhyo Vaishnavabhyo Namo Namaha. Just one verse now to beg for the mercy of the Bhagavatam and respect to the Acharyas. Samsara sagre magnam dinamam kuruniti karma grihaya gritangam mamudava bhavamava. I have fallen into the ocean of repeated birth and death, and I am totally distressed. My karma is like crocodiles ready to bite me. O ocean of mercy, please pick me up from the ocean of material existence. Srimad Bhagavatam Yayoyam Pratyaksha Krishnevahi Savrikrito Shimayanata Muktayatam Bhavasagare. This Srimad Bhagavatam is actually Krishna himself. O my Lord, to get released from this cycle of birth and death, I have taken shelter at your lotus feet. Manurati madhyayoyam sapalasavatvaya nivaginneva kartavyam dashaham tava Keshava. My dear Keshava, I am your servant. Please fulfill this desire of mine in serving you through the Srimad Bhagavatam. Narayan namaskritya naram cheva narottamam divim sarisvatam vyasam tato dhyayam udhiyet. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer the respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayan, unto Nar Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, and unto Mother Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. So, it's very interesting, this purport. There's so many things that somehow seem to show themselves. This very difficult dilemma, you know, which people, so many people have experienced in ISKCON, you know, where somehow the guru has left his ashram and they've been, the disciples are left with a difficulty. I remember, because there's a relationship between guru and disciple, it's not only like is remarked here, it's a family affair. It starts off as they have a family guru. Sukracharya, he's a Karmakanda Acharya. He preached to Bali Maharaj in terms of that he shouldn't let go of his empire. And Sukracharya, he said, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in that previous chapter. You know, so somehow he's not a fool. He knows what's happening, but somehow or other, he's been covered. He's been covered by this personal motive. And this is where the problem comes, is in all devotional life, we're covered by the modes of material nature, and we have personal motives, you know, from many, many lifetimes coming through. But in this practice here, if we know the principles of Bhakti Yoga, or the teachings of Prabhupada, Mother Kalangana explained to me that when she went to Poland, there were many people or devotees that their guru had left ISKCON or left their ashram, and they were suffering a great deal, and she went to preach to them. She said the most prominent feature was evident is that they didn't know the philosophy. They were basically following a person, but not knowing the philosophy of the Guru Tattva. They didn't know the nature of the teachings, that somehow or other, that they too had fallen from the regulative principles because of what happened to them. Somehow, they felt that they were dependent on this person. And actually, that's the tattva. We do become dependent on the guru. We start to form a relationship. We start to even, we develop affection. And I remember one Prabhu, he's from Russia, he was staying with me in Mayapur, and he was talking about a similar thing had happened to him and many devotees in the Eastern Bloc when their guru departed from ISKCON. And he said there was one of the gurus from GBC explaining the situation to them. They'd had some meeting with him. And it was very difficult for them. But anyway, they started to talk about their guru, who was their guru and still was in their hearts, actually, in many ways. But when it was being explained to them, there were certain things said that he said he couldn't accept, because they were talking about his guru. He'd formed a bond, a loving bond, actually. And he was so hurt to even hear this, even though his guru had left his ashram or had left ISKCON. So the very important thing to know, that actually this devotee, I have great respect for. Because somehow the thing that is very important, that somehow we form some attachment to our guru, whatever way we can, through service or hearing him. These things are very important for us to know him and to also know the philosophy. But then all of a sudden you find that, this person that you supported all of a sudden and has grown to feel affection for is no longer there, and it's a very upsetting situation, because we're not looking at a material situation. We're looking at Guru Tattva, and also Guru Tattva applies in married life too. They have the gurus in the family, so they're vows taken and they're broken. So this causes great suffering when vows are taken and they're broken. So it's a big lesson here. Prabhupada, he talks about the basic tattva, but also now he's talking about how this can be broken. How that in fact it's asserted by the acharyas that if they're not following Vaishnav rules and regulations, philosophy, that somehow or other they fall from their position, they no longer have to be followed. And so it's quite an issue. So he deliberates, he's sober. This is the mood, Bali Maharaj. He's an elevated soul. He's He says here that he's been given an order. Don't follow Vamanadev. Don't follow the Lord. For, you know, and in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna put it to Krishna, look, I'm going against my gurus. I'm fighting against my gurus. I'm going to kill my gurus. This is the motive. This is what you're asking that this fight is about. I can't do it. So, similar dilemma. You know, Arjuna was put in that position. He had his, you know, those who were, he'd formed this bond, not only a bond of affection, but somehow he felt they were his superiors. But Krishna said, no, they should be rejected. And Prabhupada explains in the purports how that basically they came under the auspices of Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra because they took their prasad, they took their grains, they took their offerings. So they ate their foodstuffs that were offered from them. This influenced them. And also that somehow Krishna was involved. Because somehow or other Bhishma Dev was asked not to interfere with what was going to happen. So can you imagine Bhishma Dev, he had to follow the order of Krishna. And seeing the disrobing of Draupadi. You know, but there was somehow or other, there's a twist that somehow Krishna wants this fight. And it's to fulfill the annihilation of the miscreants and to help the devotees. So it's very difficult to tell what's happening sometimes with Krishna, how he maneuvers everything and somehow puts us in an unenviable position. But it's for our good. It's all Krishna, Prabhupada points out that when Krishna takes away, it's for our good. And as Sukracharya was saying, if you don't put om in front of a promise, you can break it. That's what he was saying. If you don't put om there, you can break it. But if you put om there, that om means everything's going to be taken away. Om being Krishna. Very interesting, isn't it? And so when we ally ourselves to the Vaishnava philosophy and the vows, om is there. So we don't break our vows. So it's a very serious note. And Sukracharya has just told us this principle. That directly you have this word om, certain things are going to be taken away from you. And it's your mind, new independence is almost taken away. The desire is there. But if your desire is for spiritual life, your minute independence becomes one of surrender. This is independence. Real independence. It's freedom. Freedom from the clutches of Maya. Now, the interesting thing too, also from this verse where Sukracharya, he worships in a certain way the material energy. He says, and he's pointing out, Bali Maharaj, that you'll lose these things. And it's important you keep them because of reputation. You've got to maintain. There's so many things and principles he points out. But Krishna says, Tisham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upyantite. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they come to me. So, but there's two types of Krishna. There's Krishna in his internal potency, and there's Krishna in his external potency. So we can worship the external potency. We'll go to it. He says so. And we worship Krishna in his internal potency. We go to him. So this verse is fulfilling in all ways. Very interesting thing. So you can see with Sukracharya, he's worshipping certain things and he'll get that. And Bali will get Krishna. And so this is the important thing. Where we worship, where we desire, that's our object of worship. And likewise in, the attractions of the material world, they're there all the time. So this comes in the form of Mahamaya. So he says, the goal of life is to become a devotee of Lord Krishna so that one may become free from bondage. So, but if the guru is not going to give you this, then they must be rejected. And, but at the same time, what occurs to me, sometimes we can't tell, or sometimes we may feel something's wrong in our own spiritual life with our relationship with the guru. It may be us, it may be them. How can we know? And this is the dilemma that many people have faced in their spiritual life in ISKCON, because things were happening that were showing themselves and they weren't following Prabhupada's teachings. And so these people were placed with a dilemma. And somehow, what is very interesting to note is that because they not only broke the principal laws of Vaishnavism, some of them anyway, that they also broke the laws of the land. So, in a way, the material energy took them through the laws of the land because they broke the laws. And so, in this way, their nature was revealed. It's very difficult, you could see in ISKCON where nobody likes to tell tales. Well, they shouldn't, because it's part of our principles. It's we got to be really careful with Vaishnava Parad, before we criticize another. So, for so long, people stayed in high position, even though that they, according to the principles here, they weren't worthy. But somehow or other, Krishna is in charge. This is the one thing we have to understand. All will be revealed. And in this way, he says, don't worry, surrender to me. And this is the principle Mother Kalangan is talking about. Krishna is the goal. Not this personal relationship that may have failed because of this religious principle. That is not the goal. The goal is to get Krishna. We have to come through this turmoil of relationships that can be caused by rejecting a guru. And so it's a sort of very serious first verse. He says sober. And in the, I'm just looking at, how the word-for-word translation, it says, the master of household affairs, they're calling Sukracharya. Now this is very sort of illustrative of Sukracharya. How he has come into Bali's life. He's somehow the family guru. But he's also very powerful. He's powerful in his own right. He can, if I remember, as part of the Bhattacharya, where he brings back to life. Oh yeah, it's Bali, wasn't it? Brought back to life, wasn't it? Sukracharya. So he's very, very powerful. So, and yet, he's the master of household affairs, although guided by the priests, by the family acharya or guide. So, you know, there are many people in a dilemma when they come to ISKCON. They also have a family guru. And then they have to take on, maybe, if they come to ISKCON, they have to take the position where they're not necessarily rejecting their family guru, but they have to take a guru as a Vaishnava. And so this can be a dilemma for many people, certainly in our congregation, I would say. And I would certainly say, even on the Christian background, you know, Jesus is our guru, but we don't reject him. So we have the guidance of Prabhupada, how we accept Jesus. We have to know this philosophy to bring us through these emotional dilemmas. We have to know how to reject and accept. And I think that's the point that here. He says, Jiva Goswami has advised that such a useless guru, a family priest acting as guru, should be given up, and that a proper bona fide guru should be accepted. A scholarly brahmana, expert in all the subjects of Vedic knowledge, is unfit to become a spiritual master without being a Vaishnava. But if a person born in a family of a lower caste is a Vaishnava, he can become a spiritual master. So, if we're not careful, so this takes it away from smarter brahmanas. In other words, that doesn't matter what caste you are, because Lord Chaitanya says so in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, whatever, you know, I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not a Sudra, I'm not a Vaishya. You know, he says so. It's the one who knows the science of Krishna. So this is what Prabhupada is talking about, and this is what Bali Maharaj is now contemplating in this chapter to help us in our spiritual life and guide us. I think that's about it. I can think of anything to say. Any comments, questions?